sermon is about another encounter between Jesus and someone who is struggling. So last week, we talked about Jesus and a woman who was struggling with a bad reputation. This week, it is a man who is struggling with a lifetime of blindness. The sermon is also going to be connecting with some central ideas of the Protestant Reformation. We keep reconnecting with those because that has been the theme during the season of Lent, to appreciate some of the gifts of that wonderful Reformation. But I want us to just take a minute to think about blindness. In this day and age, only 1% of us, less than 1%, are born without the ability to see. And yet, because of the effects of aging, because of accidents, all kinds of things, it is estimated that nearly 10 million Americans are actually blind or severely visually impaired. So that's a lot of people. Blindness was also, according to a Gallup poll, one of the top feared physical conditions that any of us could have, and it was second only to cancer and AIDS. So even in our advanced society, losing the ability to see is a really scary thing for people. It's something that a lot of us would be afraid of. And yet, how many of us deal with a different kind of blindness? How many of us deal with being blind in other areas? And I'll tell you a little story to illustrate this. Once, there was a man, and he was walking through the park, and he saw a little boy sitting on a bench. And lying at this little boy's feet was a beautiful and humongous Great Dane. "Does your dog bite?" the man asked the little boy. And the boy replied, "Nope." So the man leaned down to pet this magnificent animal, but the dog took one look at this hand coming at him, and he growled and took a big chomp out of the man's arm. And the man said, "Hey, I thought you said your dog didn't bite." And the boy said, "No, he doesn't. That's not my dog." That's just a little joke to show how many of us think we know the truth of a situation, but we aren't seeing the whole picture. So a lot of us are more blind than we think. We misinterpret things. We don't see things correctly, even though we think we can see. Many of us are far more blind than we think, especially in the year 2017, because there is this thing out there that has severely impaired many of us, our ability to see and be aware of the people around us. Can you guess what that is? I didn't bring it with me. Can you give me, I'll give you a hint. It's our technology. Our screens on our laptops or our TVs, and particularly our cell phones, have so captured so many people's attention that we have lost the ability to focus on what is right in front of us, to the point that there are actual categories of news stories now just focused on injuries from walking and texting. There are thousands of stories of injuries like this. So I'll give you a few examples. There was a man in California who walked within nose distance of a huge black bear that was on the loose because he was on his phone. There was a woman in Michigan who literally out on the lake took a long walk off a short pier because she was texting. And then right here in Washington, D.C., there was a woman who walked off the subway escalator and kept walking off the platform onto the train tracks, and a man had to jump in after her because she was texting. Now, I know you're probably thinking, "I can't laugh. Are they okay?" They're all okay. So you can laugh at these people because it's insane. It's crazy, this new phenomenon of almost willful blindness to the world around us. And I'm not exempt from this. A lot of us have been there. So if we can see that we are blind in these modern areas, or to maybe put it differently, if we can see how we're blind in our hearts, in our spirits, then what kinds of things are we missing? In this story of Jesus and the blind man, we come to find that the real blindness is what he associates with the Pharisees. Remember, with the most religious people, the experts on God and on faith. He calls them blind. Jesus ends up saying they're the ones who can't see the truth, despite all their theological training, all of their efforts, all of their experience. They are just missing something. thing that they and we are often blind to is the people around us. And it's not just because of cell phones. That just makes me laugh. But there's lots of reasons we don't see the people around us. Some of you who were here last Sunday might remember I said that a deep human longing, I think, is for any of us to be truly seen for who we are. And that means not having people judge us by our outward appearance, by our age or our weight or by some disability. We want to be seen. We don't want to be looked through as if we don't matter. We all want to be seen. But just think about a typical day for you, just going about a normal day with errands, with your normal schedule, and think really about how many people you encounter. I don't just mean the friends that you intend to encounter. I mean how many people cross your path each day, like the driver in the next car that's driving like a maniac, or maybe it's the person who is checking you out at the grocery store, or the voice on the other end of that annoying sales call, real people that we're encountering, and we don't even think about it. It's not a real encounter for us. This blind beggar was one of these people who wasn't considered a real encounter. He was used to not being seen. This blind man was used to people turning a blind eye towards him because they were so used to seeing him there begging for scraps or for change. He was like a fixture. But Jesus did notice him. He did notice him. One of the other things that we can often become blind to that unfolds in this story of Jesus and the blind man, one of the other things we can become blind to is God at work. God trying to work something out. Did you notice in this story that the blind man did not actually ask to be healed? He never asked. Jesus just got to work. While his followers were debating why this man was in this predicament, why he was blind, Jesus went and he touched the man. Now, can you imagine every day you're sitting out there blind, no one pays attention to you, and then all of a sudden you have mud and spit on your face from this man? Someone touching you and telling you that you could be well right this very minute if you just went and washed up? That's what happened. How many of us, though, are like that blind man? We know we need help, but maybe we're just resigned to our situation at this point. We're resigned in self-pity or bitterness, and we say, well, this is stuff that can change, but this piece of my life, it's never going to change. It's always going to be this hard. And we might be missing God at work, God touching us already, getting ready to do something. When this man is healed, did you also notice how many people missed the miracle? They didn't seem to care that this healing had taken place. After a lifetime of blindness, he is told to go and show himself to the priests, to the Pharisees. And all of them get so caught up in controversy, wondering how it happened, wondering whether Jesus was for real, that they miss it. Even this man's own parents, the part you didn't hear of the story is that trial I described to you. And even this man's own parents were brought before the Pharisees, and they didn't seem happy that their son was healed. They were just defensive and protecting themselves against any accusation. They didn't want to be part of the controversy. So they all missed God's amazing work because they were too focused on other things. And sometimes we too get so caught up in trying to defend our point of view, our opinion, so caught up in trying to be right that we miss what God is trying to accomplish right in front of us. In our world, we miss it. Even the most religious and devoted people of the day missed it. So it's easy to do. They could not accept that Jesus did this healing on the Sabbath day. In their mind, because of the law, doing any kind of work, even smushing mud and spit, apparently that was work, was something that would divide you from God. And yet, here they were, these religious people trying so hard to keep these minuscule laws that they're missing out on God transforming a man's life. Isn't that amazing? We have been talking about the work of grace in our lives, God's work of grace in our lives, week after week here. And grace is the central theme that we keep returning to from the Protestant Reformation, something that we really need to understand in a fresh way today. It's that new and yet eternal idea that God wants to do something incredible. God wants to love us regardless of how good we are, regardless of anything we do. Now, you notice this story didn't give us a lot of background on the man who was healed. We don't know whether the blind man was particularly good or deserving. He might have not been getting any change because he was going to go spend all that money on drugs or alcohol, right? We don't know. There are all kinds of people in our world. We think we see them clearly, but we don't know the whole story. And we don't know anything about this blind man. We don't know whether he was deserving, but the disciples right away do this very human thing of trying to figure out, why is he blind? Why did this happen? Was it because of some fault in the man himself? Did his parents bring this on him? How many of us have done that when we see someone we love suffering, especially a child? We think, what did I do wrong? Is this my fault? Why is this person like this? Who's to blame? We all do that. And we often don't get answers because we ask the wrong questions. We focus our eyes on the wrong things. When we ask God why, we often don't get an answer, at least not a satisfying answer. So instead, maybe we can ask how. Not why, but how. How can God bring grace and glory even out of this situation that seems so hard, so sad? How can God bring glory out of this too? Now, many of us, if you think of one of the saddest situations you know, you might have a hard time imagining how God could possibly bring glory out of something like that, out of the sadness and suffering in our people's lives. It's hard to see. It really does take eyes of faith. And I know that sounds like a major cliche, but I'll tell you, we have to learn to see with eyes of faith. It is not something that once you're a Christian, it comes naturally. And I think maybe a great comparison when it comes to seeing with eyes of faith is thinking all of us about how we see our mothers, especially those of you with a good relationship with your mother. Think about how you saw her differently during different stages of your life journey. So like age 5 or 6, it's like, Mommy, I love you. Play with me. Pay attention to me. Little older, age 10, Mom's okay, I love you, I gotta go. Age 14, 15, oh, my mom is cool, but she's so annoying, I can't wait to live on my own, right? And then, I can vouch for this, age 30-something, oh, adult life is tough, I miss my mom, when can I go visit her? And then, age 70, a lot of you can vouch for this, I would give anything. I'm sorry, that sounded different in my head. Age, even 50, depending on when you... You might think, instead, I would give anything for just one more day with my mom. I would give anything for my mom to still be here with us, right? Right? A perspective that you can't understand when you're 5 or 17 or even 30. You can't go there yet. You see her differently in different stages of your life. And you could say the same thing about your father or your grandparent or a friend. How we view each other changes over time. And it's the same thing with God and with our faith. It matures and it grows over time. And we have to learn how to see things fully. And this is a sermon to myself just as much as to any of you. In the midst of my own life stuff, I know I get bogged down by the responsibilities, the to-dos, the worries, and I just can't see clearly, right? We can't see clearly when we're so bogged down. We do not naturally see through all the mess in our lives to what God is doing. It does not come naturally. We have to learn it. And we do that through things like prayer, like scripture, like getting out in nature, giving ourselves perspective. One of the things that can help us as we learn to see is this other amazing gift of the Protestant Reformation. It's the gift of a message that says there is no longer any divide between the sacred and the secular. And what I mean by that is, before the Reformation, there were some things that were considered holy and heavenly, and then other things that were considered earthly, just ordinary human stuff. And clearly one was better than the other, right? They even had a sacrament in the early church called holy orders, where people who were ministers were ordained to be priests, and they were truly considered to be holier than everybody else. I think most of you are getting that's no longer the case. That's no longer how we see things, but that's how they saw things back then, that the priest was holier than everybody else. And then in the Reformation, this new idea came along called the priesthood of all believers. Of all believers. So that means every single one of us is considered worthy to connect to God, to be a part of God's work, to share God with other people. Every single one of us. And that means that any job that you have, any work you're doing, whether it is a teacher or a plumber or a businessman or a stay-at-home parent, all of it is considered a calling. And it's all sacred. None of it any longer is just ordinary human stuff. It's all considered sacred to the life of faith. So this idea of the priesthood of all believers is a great gift to us as we're trying to see, because it reminds us that God cares about more than just religious people and churchy things. God is present in all of life, all the stuff in life, if we develop eyes to see where he's present. And then once we can see God at work more clearly, our job is simply to tell our story the best we can, because our stories help each other. This blind man, during that trial that you didn't hear all about, I didn't think you'd want to hear necessarily 42 verses, but that trial that this blind man is on, when he's bombarded with questions about who Jesus is and whether Jesus is legitimate, all he says in response to that basically is, "I don't know anything about any of that. I'll tell you what I do know. I once was blind, but now I see." Isn't that amazing? That testimony, it's so simple. And it can be the same thing for us. Maybe all of us would say, "I don't know anything about that theology or those politics or that argument, but this I know. I used to be bitter and angry, and now I'm full of joy. I used to be stuck in my addictions and compulsions, but now I'm free and I help others. I used to have a mess of a marriage, and now it's not easy, but it's good. I used to live in constant worry, but now I live a life with peace. I used to be cynical and feel alone, but now I'm working on a relationship with God. I once was blind, but now I see." May it be so. Amen.